Okay, in practice, we're live.
In theory, however, we're not.
Oops. Well, hello, and welcome to Hit in Abyss, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I have taken bets on what tonight's episode would be, understanding that it would be a They Might Be Giants song, and nobody guessed Whistling in the Dark. For shame.
Did not guess that, yeah.
Yep, it's okay. It's okay, it just means that you'll be rolling at disadvantage for all your attacks tonight. I mean, hi. Hello. Tonight,
Whistling
I am joined...
in the Dark, I knew it from the first sentence.
Positive.
If this was the Kobold campaign, there's also a song called Till My Head Falls Off. Yes.
Which Gox makes happen sometimes. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Not his head. But, you know. Go
ahead.
Hopefully the new improved Gox can do it to a Tarrasque.
Ooh.
Good luck with that.
Nice. Yeah.
You're going to need a bigger battle axe.
Well, it's a bigger kobold now that he's a dragon.
This is true. But that's a different campaign.
And it is.
These episodes come out much later than the Pack Tactics one because we have more of those. But in any case, tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, many of whom you've already heard in our intro. We've got Ellie, we've got Eric, we've got Jen, we've got Millie, and we have Cindy. So, what happened last week?
Oh, what did happen?
Nothing.
I don't know the Halloween costume part.
We met a druid who mentioned something about a spreading curse of undeath. We saw that the farms are being tended by scarecrows that are possessed by some sort of devil or demon who's under contract.
Right.
And we also stole an old couple's home because they were dead.
Well, we buried them. I mean, Unka, you know, tried to, like, give them holy water and the scarecrows helped bury them, but yes.
I became friends with the scarecrows because I can read their minds and they speak infernal and I speak infernal. Well, I don't speak, but I get infernal. So we became friends.
And Anka refused to carry an armoire in the bag of holding. I remember that.
Tragedy. yeah, that was most of it. We scared off a farm lady, the first one we met, because she didn't really like that we were talking to her scarecrows. And that we figured out how to communicate with them. And what else did we do? Paige is afraid of scarecrows, but not as afraid of these ones because they communicate using Infernal, and that made them slightly less scary than real scarecrows.
The one thing that can make Paige less scared, literal demons.
You see, scarecrows are scary, but demons forced into scarecrows are less scary because they're not actually scarecrows at heart.
So, FYI, 3 minutes, 20 seconds. 3 minutes and 20 seconds until the first out of context quote. All right. And a good time was had by, well, not everyone. Some people were severely traumatized, including the one young lady at the first farm you stopped at, where you learned that the scarecrows were demonically possessed.
Because he tried to write his name down and burn the building.
And then you said, don't worry, we'll come back and help you out later. But you said it to the scarecrow and not
the people
who lived on the farm. Again,
and then she
mistakes were made.
Slammed the door shut on us.
And several windows.
Yes.
Oh, that was good.
Okay. Well, you ended the session last time by tucking yourselves in for a long winter's nap, which is really weird because in game time it's late spring. But
I cuddled with Ellie in the bed,
and I think Peter's sleeping in the bed too because
he's a kid,
he needs a good place to sleep.
It's like the old Muppet things where you would have like 15 different characters all in the same bed.
Yeah.
Good night, Jim Bob. Good night, Bob Jim. Good night, Danny boy. Oh, Danny boy. Wait.
Oh, no.
Never mind.
There will be bagpipes coming from somewhere soon.
Yes.
Only if I do things right. There is a great song that I've heard done by a group that doesn't do stuff anymore, unfortunately, because half the members died. But it was, yeah, a long story. But the group was called Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. and they had a song called The Dublin Lullaby. And it starts off like they're singing Danny Boy, but then you start to realize the words are somewhat different.
Okay.
And the chorus is, we're going to drink and fight and drink and fight and drink and fight some more. When the drink is done, grab anyone and go and fight some more. So grab your friends and neighbors and punch them in the eye, then raise a glass. Never mind. Moving on. It's a very violent song, and my sister sang it at a karaoke night. So
nice.
Yes. Everyone looked at her funny.
Mission accomplished.
Okay. So with that said, Mazir is awake.
Okay.
Still cuddling with me.
No, Mazir is not. And everything looks stranger. When you went to bed, the farmhouse that you were in had a just married, we've just moved in kind of look to it. Minus a significant amount of jewelry, which just happened to find its way into your pockets.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, oh, how'd that get there? Well, they're not going to miss it.
Yeah.
But you awake to find yourself standing in the bedroom where you went to sleep, but it's not the same bedroom. The furniture is in the same locations, but it looks older. It looks worn down. The curtains that are hanging on the window look tattered and frayed, and everything looks like a really poorly done black and white horror movie.
Do I see armadillos?
You do not see armadillos.
Okay.
It's probably for the best. There is a very cowardly dog. No, wait, never mind.
Sorry, in the Bela Lugosi Dracula, there are armadillos in Dracula's castle.
Huh. Well, unfortunately, this is a farmhouse, so...
There are armadillos in my backyard.
You're going to have to find the nearest castle to see if there are, in fact, armadillos, but you are in a farmhouse still. And you seem to be by yourself.
That's the question I was going to ask. Okay, I'm going to head downstairs.
Okay. You find yourself downstairs. You don't quite remember taking the stairs. You took a step, and now you're downstairs.
That's not an ability I used to have. If I look out the window, what do I see?
You see a field that looks like it hasn't been sown in a very long time, but there's not really much growing in it. It looks like it was left fallow, but it didn't get overgrown with a lot of weeds. There's a few growing there. Give me a perception check.
Okay. Just a second. 21.
Okay. You see everything.
Okay.
Off in the distance, you see a bunch of strange little creatures that kind of look like potatoes with legs running in a pack off towards the horizon. It's kind of unnerving.
Yeah, I bet.
But you also see, walking towards the farmhouse, a humanoid figure wearing a large cloak and a very floppy hat.
Okay. I'll open the door. No reason not to be hospitable.
Okay. It takes you about 5 minutes to walk to the door.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Paige.
Yeah?
You find yourself in the bedroom where you fell asleep.
Okay.
It looks like a bad horror movie. You are instantly overjoyed.
Yes! What's up?
You are by yourself.
Okay. I don't even have my hands.
No. Well, you have the hands that are attached to you, but not the ones that attach to you.
I'm a little sad to not have any of my multitude of creepy crawlies on me.
Okay. You hear something happening downstairs.
I head that way.
Okay. It takes you about 5 minutes to get to the stairs.
Goodness gracious.
But once you get there, you see the door closing.
No! I try to get through the door.
Okay. Unka, Eric,
and
Fahim.
Yeah.
One moment. The DM is trying to make sure he hasn't forgotten anyone.
Good plan.
You're in...
Sylvanas.
There is no Sylvanas. She's gone to the Shadowlands. Sorry. You find yourselves in the barn. Well, you're assuming it's the barn. You find yourselves in a barn.
I look around to see if Peter's with us.
He is not.
Okay, this is weird. I don't remember walking into the barn. I've never sleepwalked.
Oh, this hay is really scratchy on my bottom.
I did not need to know that, but that's okay. Why are we... Okay, I'm going to go back in the house and make sure Peter's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to head towards the barn doors and open them up.
Okay.
As you go towards the barn doors, the barn seems to elongate. So the more you walk toward the doors, the longer the barn gets, keeping the doors the same distance from you.
I'm going to keep walking towards them just long enough so I know for sure it's not my imagination or anything like that. Then I'm going to turn to the others and go, this, something's wrong here. This is not how a barn's supposed to act.
No one showed it a script.
It took me a minute, but I got that.
Took me a minute as well.
If the sun was setting, you could run forward and then back and forward and back and watch it go up and down. Sun goes up, yep. Sun goes down. Sun goes up, sun yeah. goes down. Sun goes up, goes up. Oh.
Love classic Simpsons references. But yeah, the barn or space itself or all of reality, there is something not right going on here.
And we can't be dreaming because we're all here.
But we can't be dreaming.
Or am I dreaming of myself? You?
Because my bottom still itches.
Once again, we okay. didn't need to know that. But yeah, at the idea of dreaming, Fahim literally pinches herself. I assume it comes Ow. Up. Yeah. Mm. So I am not dreaming. I feel confident in saying that.
I've never encountered anything like this before.
Well, there's nothing I can punch. In fact, things are moving away from me, so...
Right, yes, that's true.
I don't have a lot of ideas.
It's been an over... It's been over an episode since Fahim got to punch something.
It's been a bit, yeah.
Forget Eric. Fahim's knuckles are getting itchy. Meanwhile, back at the farm... Wait, you're all on the farm.
Yes.
Back at the farmhouse, things seem to have sped back up again after your incredibly long walk towards the door. So, Mazir, you have stepped across the threshold, and you are face-to-face with the person that you encountered in the forest. Same large beard that looks like it's got maybe a hint of red in it, although, like I said last time, it's still mostly gray. Same large floppy hat, same amorphous cloak. Same missing eye. Or was it the other eye? He's missing an eye. He's missing at least one eye. The other one might be glassy, you don't know. And there happens to be a raven sitting on his shoulder. Not your raven. A different raven.
Okay. I say, hello. You came out of the forest. I didn't expect that.
I go where I'm called.
Okay.
And apparently, I've been called to have a conversation with you.
Okay.
I must say, it is... rather rare for me to encounter another servant of the Raven Queen.
Ah, I would imagine so. I'm not sure I've encountered more than one myself, other than you.
And by the way, at this point, Paige, you've gotten to the door and you're hearing this conversation.
Oh, fucks.
The Raven Queen is concerned.
Oh, what can I do better?
Oh. Let me rephrase. She is not concerned with your actions. You have been performing apparently splendidly. She is very pleased with events that have taken place due to your machinations.
Oh, well, that's nice to know. Always good to get a positive performance review.
Yes. No word on whether or not it will lead to a salary increase. That does have to go through corporate.
Well,
that's an hour off pick.
Make sure you ask for at least a 401k.
I do tend to find my own ways of supplementing my income, so...
It's sick leave.
We do have an impressive dental package.
Ooh.
Very good, very good.
Paige is looking at the tooth in her pocket thinking about dental.
Unfortunately, the deductible for medications is still quite high. We're the union's negotiating. We don't have... This is going on. Never mind. But
so what can I do for our mutual patron?
Are you aware of what's happening in the oceans?
Well, I'm aware of some things that are happening in the oceans.
Are you aware of what's causing
it? No, I'm pretty sure I don't know that.
For a moment, you're underwater. You can breathe. It's, imagine if you will, a dark illusion. By the way, everyone else is now currently also underwater.
Cool.
Yes. So in the barn is now flooded.
He loves it.
You can't swim. but it looks like you're underwater.
Anka's doing this like shrug thing, like, what is this?
This unreality barn just gets weirder and weirder.
Paige just likes being underwater after last adventure.
You see a few fish swim through the walls.
Cool. I really wish I had my octopus now.
Unfortunately,
Anka's starting to wonder if we've all been poisoned by something before we went to sleep.
It's the octopi from the woods.
That's only in the northwest.
That's how they get ya.
So, above you, Mazir, you see a very, very large creature. The thing that you encountered at Adrianka, basically the giant worm with teeth that ate a significant portion of downtown Adrianka in an impromptu renovation session, was not quite as big as this thing. And it is swimming above you. It is incredibly large, like I said. It has nasty pointy teeth and tentacles all around its face. Give me a charisma save.
17.
Okay. You are very much afraid, but not catatonic. Paige, give me a charisma save.
Charisma, okay. 19.
Same deal. You feel kind of like an ant. This is not a new feeling for you, unfortunately.
I'm small.
Well, this is a very familiar feeling.
Oh, like that other dream I had.
This is a very familiar being.
Oh.
You didn't see the whole thing last time, but you did see one of its eyes, and you see both of its eyes now.
They're just the heebie-jeebies.
Behold, the Kraken.
What? What?
A primordial being from back in the days before the gods came to this world.
I know primordial. Paige is having a moment. Paige is...
Until 10 years ago, it was imprisoned, sleeping. Someone released it.
Well, that seems like a mistake.
Indeed. It wishes only for the destruction of everything on land. It's been using deceit and trickery to win allies to its cause. Many worship it as a god.
Hmm. Yeah, I've seen that.
The Paige vision... is still having a moment.
For a time, Our Lady let its plans come to fruition. There were many who had their own downfalls facing it over the years.
So, what can I do to foil the Kraken's plans?
Currently, there is a large armada being formed in Sandstone. It might not be considered the most friendly of armadas by many. I, for one, would not mind seeing it burned to the waterline. But it apparently has a role to play in the defeat of the Kraken. Its current plan in this area is to raise Sandstone to the ground. This, though it pains me to say it, I'd really rather not. I'd honestly really, really would. And a very large, dark form appears behind this person. The underwater thing goes away. So this dark form appears behind the person with the floppy hat, and they're just a shape. But you get the sense that their outline is not like the smooth outline of someone with a cloak draped over the shoulders. It's just thousands of feathers. Oh, yes. Well, Sandstone must not fall. There are those that right now, even right now, are getting into a position where they could conceivably kill everyone in Sandstone. They would immediately die afterwards themselves. The Kraken does not fulfill its promises. You may recall what happened in Plantain.
Mm-hmm.
You may recall what happened to the power behind the fall of Plantain.
I believe so.
It will happen again. Paige, at this moment, you see a particular warlock's head sitting on the ground in front of you.
A trophy. It's the one just... I killed in Plantain, right?
Yeah. Well, you didn't. You weren't the one that killed it. It got its head. She got her head chopped off, and it rolled to the ground at your feet. That head is there in front of you, and it looks like it's not aged well.
Ooh, Ooh, yummy. Paige is also, because Paige heard all of that, is having a meltdown inside. I ain't gonna, but I was promised.
The eyes on the head open up and look up at you.
I stare at them, because I'm trying to not freak out so loud that they hear, know I'm listening.
So you have an ability to comprehend all languages, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So give me a perception check at advantage.
Okay. And with advantage, 16.
Okay. So the head starts screaming, but it doesn't have any lungs. So it's not really making a lot of sound with its scream, but it's making a solid attempt.
Yes.
And you can tell what she's trying to say because her lips are moving big. It's just one word over and over again. Betrayed.
I don't like this.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Your pathetic magic betrays you.
Paige is not a fan of everything going on right now. She's very sad she doesn't have her support octopus with her.
But we were going to make you president of the club. It had buttons and everything.
Yeah, but I don't have Lulu.
The buttons have a slogan on them, release the Kraken.
That's good. But yeah, Paige is having more than second thoughts about everything that's been going on.
Okay.
Paige is not stupid. Paige knows that what's going down.
Release the Kraken. Your rental period is about to expire. Thank you, Ellie. If you don't have inspiration, give it to yourself now.
Yeah, Paige is on Nope Island and is trying to get off.
Okay. So
you're
at this
to nope
point,
yourself off Nope Island?
Yes.
At this point, Paige's attempts to nope out of there end up having her back up against the door. Mazir, you hear a thud thud on the door. And this floppy hat guy looks at you and says, right, well, my work here is done.
You'll just start screaming. Paige is just screaming. She's not hiding anymore, she's screaming.
It seems the disturbing bird person from before tagged along.
She does that.
No matter. Be gone.
And as soon as he says be gone, he waves his hand and you find yourself outside of the farmhouse. It's close to morning, but not quite morning. It's sort of like the twilight period before the sun rises up. But you are right where you were in that other place. But I hesitate to say the real world because we're playing Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. But in the world you were in before. Paige, right. You are also right where you were. There is no head. You are, in fact, holding a pumpkin.
I'm still screaming.
It is the scariest of pumpkins.
What does it say on it? Taxes?
It says anti-vaxxer.
Oh, that is scary.
Don't touch
flatter
it.
Flatter theory. Measles. I run to
you
Ellie.
Drop it and smallpox comes out.
Wow.
Paige might like that pumpkin more.
The rest of you are in the barn, by the way.
Can you tell there's been a shift in the world?
Well, you know how in The Wizard of Oz, everything goes from black and white to color?
Okay.
So that without the tornado.
I'll try the door again then.
The tornado's the best part.
It looks like the door does not try to run away from you this time.
This time.
I'll open the doors, look outside, and say, I still have no idea what happened, but it seems to be over.
Okay, I'm going back into the house now.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm now hugging Mazir's leg, screaming.
Okay. As you approach the farmhouse, you see Mazir standing outside with a small bird holding onto her leg in a death grip. Mazir's leg, not its own leg. I feel I need to clarify.
That's a good point.
You know the bird has had... You know Paige has had a habit of screaming out sandstone and murder recently. This time around... She's not really enunciating. It's just a scream.
I wave at Mazir. Do you need any help with whatever's going on?
Yeah, I could use a hand.
Okay. I go walking over.
Almost three hands crawl over. and try to confidently pat Paige.
I hug the hands.
Okay, maybe that's solved whatever. I'm going back in the house now. Just like shaking her head in dismay and walking into the house.
Check on Peter, would you? I haven't seen him since.
That's my plan, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go scout the barn out and see if there's a cart or something.
No! Okay,
have Paige, have you let go of Mizir's leg yet?
No.
Okay. Well, Mizir, if you're going to go to the barn, that's going to be a strength athletics check.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I'm not going to the barn.
I'll approach Paige and I'll try to comfort her as much as I can, but if that doesn't work, I'll also be like, okay, grab onto my leg.
I transfer over like, you know, a little baby.
I apologize for this. I have a feeling Paige got to meet my patron and was somewhat distressed by it.
I'll try to help Paige get over the experience any way I can.
Thank you.
Okay. So at this point, Fahim, you have a
catatonic bird.
a catatonic screaming, large for a bird, but small for a person, bird person, firmly attached to your leg.
I give it gentle pats on the head and say, okay, let it all out.
It's the softest of punches. It's what Fahim knows how to do.
I start wailing about the word betray over and over again.
I am confused, but I continue my current tactics of gentle head pats and just encouraging her to let it out.
There.
Betray!
Unka.
Hmm.
So you went in to check on Peter because you hadn't seen him.
Yes. Yes.
Eric, what are you doing?
Still scratching my butt.
Well, someone has to, and there were no volunteers.
It is really not going away, and I'm wondering what's happening.
Is there hay stuck in your pants?
I'm trying to use like a twig or something back there, something to really get some scratching going.
Just ask the scarecrow to help.
Well, that's going to be a bit of a problem because Unka, as you go into the house, you find the scarecrow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is in front of the stove. It's
also
over there by the cupboard. It is also over there towards the back door.
It's in pieces, isn't it?
It is, think of it as an anti-scratch coating on the floor.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go find Peter, because I'm not really worried about Scarecrow right now. Was what?
I said that was just my last resort.
Scarecrow's cut into pieces. This was the last resort.
Got it now. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to go upstairs and look for Peter, and hopefully he's sleeping peacefully in the bed and missed all of the weirdness that was going on.
As soon as you turn to head towards the staircase, you hear the pitter-patter of little feet running behind you.
Behind me?
Not running up to you, but whatever's making that sound
is behind me.
Is behind you, so you don't
see it. I turn around and see what I see.
You see the scarecrow's head bob a little bit, like something had bumped it running past, but you don't see anything.
Peter's still stuck in the other realm.
I'm hoping he never ended up in the other realm. All right, I'm going to go faster up the stairs, just in case weirdness happened there as well.
Okay. As you go up the stairs, you see what looks kind of like a potato with beady little eyes and legs that are articulated like a bird, so like the knees go backwards, standing at the top of the staircase, just looking down at you.
How big is this thing?
It's fairly small. Imagine, if you will,
a corgi.
A corgi?
About the size of a corgi.
Okay. So I'm going to attempt to walk past it.
Well, you're at the bottom of the stairs. It's at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, I'm going to walk up and just see if I can just go right past it. A corgi's not going to cover the whole stair as a corgi-sized thing, so.
This is true.
I want it.
As you put your foot on the next stair up, it looks like it breathes in hard.
Oh, no. I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon, just in case.
It opens its mouth very, very wide, There's a lot of pointy teeth in there, and it screams at you.
I want it.
And we're going to roll for initiative now.
Oh, no.
No, I want it!
I've rolled a 12, and my initiative is minus 1, so I have an 11.
Orc Mom, why do you ruin everything for me? I'm not part of this fight. I'm too busy screaming in a corner. Unless you still want me to roll. Okay. I'm screaming on Fahim's leg, so...
Yeah.
Which is fitting, since he rolled a higher initiative than me.
Want it! Mom! Why do you always punch the things I love?
This is why you can't have scary things.
Mm-hmm. Tell that to my 3 disembodied hands and my spider.
Yeah, Unka's not a fan of those either, honestly.
At some point, Unka's going to channel divinity, turn undead, and the hands are going to turn into ash. Because they're CR 0
creatures. I think I actually can do that. So, oh, I can. I can do it as an action. And yeah, I can. I can do it, yeah.
Watch me cry. This will be the worst day ever. I find out that I was lied to and my pets get killed.
Oh my gosh, I can do more than one at a time, too.
Hello, okay. Welcome to Hit an Abyss, where people are looking over their character abilities and going, oh, I can do this?
I can do that.
That revelation is not just for DMs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You might have though, if you do that, Orc Mom.
Well,
so something I posted on Mastodon earlier today. I was going through and looking at articles that were tagged D&D, and I found one that said 10 magical items that you should never give anyone in your campaign. And I looked at it and I thought, ooh, shopping list.
Look at the things I'm going to give my characters next.
Well, this sucks.
Okay.
No, I was rolling initiative and I rolled a nat 1.
Okay.
Yeah, this sucks.
A potato flew around the room.
Fortunately, Thor's Tato has a plus 20 initiative.
Actually, it let's just say it has a negative 1 initiative, so it's actually going at the top of the round. It doesn't work that way. Nothing works that way.
My computers work that way. I can't go at all.
It needs to have a negative 2 initiative so that it rolls back around to 255.
Computers do work that way. The negative rolling over to the top is basically why Gandhi's a nuclear freak in the Civilization games.
That's true. That's true.
Interesting.
He's so peaceful, he becomes violent.
Yeah, actually.
Actually, yeah, because the original game, he was set to a low peace value, and they had a stat where when you discover democracy, your peace, your warness goes down. His, it went to a negative, which, since it was coded kind of imprecisely, meant it rolled over to the top at the max. So the moment India became democratic, they became warmongers in the first
game.
The moment they learn democracy, they start to declare war on every other civilization they meet and destroy everyone. Also why I always play as India. Learned that.
I am officially scared of you.
Okay.
No, because I always play a peaceful victory. I don't want to deal with crazy Gandhi trying to kill me.
So, first up is Mazir.
Mm-hmm.
And, hold on, let me be able to check. So, initiative, I've got Mazir at over 20, Paige at 15, Fahim and Eric at 14, Unka at 11, I think. Have I missed anyone?
We don't know there's a fight going on yet, do we?
No.
Well, right before we rolled initiative, this thing started screaming. Now, Mazir, give me a perception check.
I would probably also be interested in checking out the screaming.
12.
So, remember that pack of potatoes you saw running off in the distance?
Mm-hmm. I know what it is. Yes.
Oh, no.
They apparently followed you here because you see several of them, like, going through some windows that apparently have been broken. Maybe the first ones through broke them, but they're jumping into the house.
On the ground floor?
Yes. They don't appear to be able to climb very well, not with not having arms and such.
If they can jump into the second floor window, like, I'm sold. I need them all.
Okay.
And two of them veer off from the pack that's going into the house and start running towards you. But it's your turn, so what do you do?
I need to double check the wording of something real quick.
Mazir casts Wish.
Yes.
I wish I didn't have to deal with this. That's a horrible wish. The DM would just have you die. Guess what? You don't have to deal with it anymore. Now you just have to worry about where you go when you die. You hoped you would get old before you died. It didn't happen. Mark my words, that will be an episode title at some point.
My Wish by Rascal Flatts.
I need to check something, so go ahead and let Paige go.
Okay. So, Paige, you're up. You okay, see very so what angry do I potatoes.
Know? Do I know with my perception of 21?
Okay. So, yes, there is a potato at the top of the stairs, but you see more of them hanging out on the ground floor. So even if Unka manages to kill the one at the top of the stairs, you might be able to claim one or two if they don't eat you first.
How difficult would it be for me to get into the building?
Well, at this point, I'm going to say that Fahim is right there by the front door. And that means so are you, because you're filling the same 5-foot square as you are currently riding Fahim's leg.
Yes.
Imagine, if you will, a magical flying broom, but replace the broom with a monk's leg.
I'm good at that.
And the flying part with not flying. And the magical part with punching.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I'm just looking at this, making sure I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to get up and go inside, because I got things to fight. And to do so, I'm going to cast Shadow Blade.
Okay.
Because my other spells that I'd like to do cause a bit of, AoE damage. And people I like or might be in the house, so I feel like I should be a little focused.
Focus. Focus.
Yes.
Okay. Is casting Shadowblade an action or bonus action?
It is a bonus action.
Okay, so you can still use your action to do some damage.
Yeah, can I hit one with this sword I just made?
That's going to require a roll.
I hope so. So do I just do... I haven't actually attacked with a weapon before, do I?
I don't know if you have. You're just going, well, other people do this. I think I'll try
it. Yeah, I usually just...
Canonically, you have, because magical pebbles are still pebbles.
Oh, yeah.
True, true. I'm just making sure that I type the rest plus what, the right plus what, you know?
Good idea.
So, for my hit dice, what do I do? Is it, like, just a 1d20 plus 1?
Hold on, let me load up your characters. So, I'm pretty sure for that spell you used your spell modifier. I could be wrong.
For the attack, so I do, like, the plus 4?
Shadow Blade. There it is.
I know, like, for attack, it's, you know, the 3d8 of damage, but, like, what do I do to make sure I hit?
Has the finesse, light, and thrown properties. Oh, you can throw it if you really want to.
It goes away. Have it. Also, question, is the house in dim light?
It's not yet dawn, so yes.
Yes, I get an advantage. Okay.
It's a simple melee weapon with which you are proficient, so we're not using your spell bonus.
So I just want to know the correct roll for me doing a melee attack.
Okay, you're going to add your dexterity bonus and your proficiency bonus, so you're going to add plus 5.
Plus 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. 24 will hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay, so then I do the 3d8 of damage?
Yes. Okay. That is a lot more hit points than it has. How do you kill it?
Oh, man. Paige just kind of aims for the mouth.
Well, that's the largest target. That is the largest part of its anatomy. It's mostly mouth.
Yeah, she doesn't know a lot about swords, so she's just kind of, like, hoping it hits.
Okay. So, because of how this potato is built, you aim for the mouth, you slice through it, and...
Does it fly around the room?
If it was a car, you would have turned it into a convertible.
Good!
Instead, you've turned it into an internal anatomy lesson.
Yay! The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, y'all.
I will not laugh. I will not laugh. If I laugh, I have to give inspiration. If I laugh, I have to give inspiration. I will not laugh.
I already have inspiration, so it's fine.
It's the principle of the thing. Okay. Mazir, have you looked up what you needed to look up?
Ellie, you're muted.
Yes, I have.
Okay. So we're going back to you.
I'm going, the two that are running toward me, I'm going to cast Green Flame Blade and attack one.
Okay.
By the way, Paige is still screaming. Just needed that out there.
At this point, I think it would require concentration to not be.
Yeah. Now just yelling the word betray over and over again, because that's the feel.
Whew. With nat a 28, 20. You hit all the things. Well, once
it's a nat 20.
Okay.
Wow.
So what do you roll for damage?
You hit everything and then some.
How do you do this?
Oh my.
That's 19 points of damage. How do you do this?
Slice it in half vertically.
Okay. The previous one was sliced in half horizontally, so you know, this makes sense. We're covering all of our bases.
And then that's 8. Oh, wait. 13 damage to the one next to it.
13 damage to the one next to it? Mm-hmm. Is that fire damage?
Yeah.
Okay, so the other one is also a charred corpse now.
Yay.
Neat.
It runs forward for a few more steps before it realizes it's dead.
Got it. And then I'm going in through one of the broken windows.
Okay. You do the whole heroic cover your face with your arms thing and jump through?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a dexterity save.
Dirty 20.
A dirty 20. Okay, because there were curtains in front of the window, and you are much larger than these evil potatoes. So there was a chance that you would have not been so heroic and ended up imitating a mummy on the floor.
Curtains.
Yes. You would have been a Mazir burrito. But with a dirty 20, that is not in fact the case. You crash through the window, and you look cool doing it. Fahim and Eric, you're both up.
No more outside. Let's deal with the ones in here.
Inside is fine. How many potatoes we got?
A lot.
We have a whole farm.
All the potatoes. Okay.
All the potatoes.
There is no famine of potatoes.
Come on, y'all. We're going to Ireland.
So let's see if I can hit one and possibly hit another.
Everything you kill is one less thing that will try to bite you when it's their turn at initiative one.
Two.
Well, technically two, because they have a plus one to initiative. But the next lowest is Onka at 11, so it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well?
Not a big fan of a six, but it is what it is.
Okay. So, actually, but looking at this, we didn't talk about your previous roll. You rolled an 18 to hit.
Yes, 18 to hit, yeah.
Yes, you did hit. You're doing 6 points of damage. It is still alive, just very badly slashed.
All right. We're going to go ahead and use a branding smite for my next hit.
For your next one?
Yes.
Okay. 28 hits and then some.
And then this branding smite.
Now, were you attacking the same one or a different one?
Same one.
Okay. Well, the branding smite, how do you want to do this?
Oh.
I would like to come at a... I want to come at an angle from the left to the right with my...
No two of these things are going to be cut apart in the same way, but they're all being cut in half. And technically, one of them is a baked potato.
Oh.
Got to fill it with cheese and sour cream.
Yeah.
Mm. Or just a...
potatoes.
I want a baked potato right now. Okay,
In Soviet Russia, potatoes eat you.
I haven't heard a Soviet Russia joke in a long time.
I'm old. I'm allowed to do old memes.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, wow, that's a meme I haven't heard in a bit.
It's an older meme, but it checks out. And I appreciate that meme is also an older meme now.
Yes.
That older meme about older memes is an older meme, but it still checks out.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
And Fahim, you are also going at this particular initiative point.
All right, I'm going to run into the nearest group of potatoes I can find. And for my main action, I get two attacks on one of them. So a 27 and an 8.
The 27 will hit and do double damage because that's a nat 20.
And I do 10 damage.
How do you punch it to death?
mashed potatoes.
There is now a red, imagine if you will, a water balloon filled with red ink dropped from a high location onto the floor. That's what you see here.
All right.
Bryn, and in the last session, Bryn had just prestidigitated the floor.
Oh, she did. Yes.
I'm going to be so mad. Gonna
be... And I'm going to spend a key point to do two more attacks to another potato. 25 and a 22.
Those are both hits.
Mashed potato mama.
I can tell you, based on what you put there with your bonus to hit, yeah, it's dead. 2d6 plus 8. These things have 10 hit points each. So
yeah, Fahim's just going to be walking into a crowd of them and making mashed potatoes.
Okay. Every punch makes one go. That is exactly the sound that it makes. And it is just as disturbing as one can imagine. There's nothing nice about the situation. Onka.
I think it's fun.
You're at the stairs.
Okay. I'm
There's
at the stairs.
There's a screaming potato at the top of the stairs.
I'm going to throw my spiritual weapon at it.
Okay.
There's more at the bottom where I'm at?
Well, everyone else is on the ground floor with you. Well, you're technically like a few steps up from the ground floor.
Okay.
But they're coming in through the windows. All and right. also well, one very large one that she's like one... Nazir.
What?
Well, Nazir also came through a window.
Oh, right. Okay.
Extreme potatoes!
Yeah. Yeah, my goodness. Okay,
20,000
so gonna...
potatoes enter. One potato leaves.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
Yeah.
Truckosaurus!
Okay, so I'm going to use the spiritual weapon to hit the one that is at the top of the stairs in the hopes that I can run past it and go see if Peter's okay.
Okay.
So I have to be within 5 feet. Am I within 5 feet?
Oh, no. The range of the spiritual weapon is 5 feet, but if you cast it above its head, then the spiritual weapon is within 5 feet.
That sounds about right. Okay, we'll do that. So I'm going to hit it with that, and I'm not really sure how much damage it would take. I don't know.
As luck would have it, I already opened your character sheet tonight.
Okay, good.
So
is it 1d8?
Well, you cast it at first level.
First level. I think it's 1d8.
Actually, no, it's not a first level spell. Hold on.
Second level.
Yeah. It's you're going to roll d20 and add 6 to it first.
Okay, let's do that. Got a 16. What am I adding?
16 with that'll hit.
Okay.
And you're going to roll 1d8 plus 3 for your damage.
Okay.
Editor's note, a lot of the participants this evening are sick, including bronchitis and a bunch of other crap. So
yeah, I have strep throat and I'm on antibiotics, and I don't do numbers very well to begin with, so here we are.
Yes.
So I rolled a 1d8 and got a 2, and I'm adding
so
something
that's gonna
to
do 5
that.
Points of damage.
Okay, so I'm going to do that, and then with my, I guess that's a bonus action, spiritual weapon.
So you still have an
with
action.
With my action, I want to run past it to go find Peter.
Okay, it's going to get an attack of opportunity as
that's
you run
fine.
Past.
That's fine.
Okay. I get to actually have it do an attack roll.
Yes, this one lived long enough to
everything
do that.
Everything else has just been exploding, getting cut in half.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Okay, well, that is a 21.
Okay. And her...
That's going to hit you.
That's going to hit, That's going to hit.
And that does 6 points of piercing damage. It
okay.
bites you hard.
Does it let go? Or is it still attached?
It lets go to bite you again, and when it does, you continue to run past it. But you are bleeding profusely from your leg at this point.
Okay, that's
Actually,
fine.
No, hold on.
I could fix it later.
No, no, I'm wrong. Let me reread this.
Oh, okay.
It's attached to you.
It's attached to me.
Yes, it bit onto your leg. And imagine, if you will, the earlier scene with Mazir and Paige. But
oh,
replace
no.
Mazir with you. Paige with a potato that has teeth.
I at least am not biting anyone.
And
right.
the cries of betrayed, betrayed, betrayed with a gnawing sensation.
So, it's like the world's worst chihuahua.
Oh, God. All right, so when I go through the door, I'm going to attempt to scrape this thing off. Like the door frame.
The door is closed. And
door's closed.
There's two of them. In front of the door, that are kind of trying to one of them's trying to scratch at the door with its legs awkwardly.
Okay.
And the other one is trying to bite the door awkwardly.
Going well.
They are, imagine if you will, beings that have negative modifiers to both intellect and wisdom. They don't really know how to do this properly.
Can I do a spell again, or am I out for this turn?
Well, you just used your movement. You could use an action. You could use the action to attack one of these things, or you could use the action to try to remove the one from your leg.
I'm going to... what should I do?
In the face!
Yeah. I'm going to I'm gonna try to get the thing off my leg. I'm going to, like, punch it in the head.
Yes!
Hope it lets go. So I got a pretty good strength thing, so I thought maybe it'll work. You know?
Question, because this is going to determine what we're doing with this. Are you going to attempt to just, like, detach it, or are you going to try to make it fall off because you killed it?
The second one.
Okay. How do you go about that?
I'm going to punch it in the head.
Okay.
Because that's the part that's biting me. Yeah.
All right. Well, you've been paying attention, Fahim. All of life's problems can be solved by punching, according to Fahim. Yeah. So,
well, you know, she is a half-orc. She's, you know.
Give me a d20 roll and add 3 to it.
Yeah, orc mom.
That hits something. Okay, I have a 7 plus 3.
Okay. So you are going to, unfortunately, you punch it, but it doesn't really connect very well. You hit it in one of its flabbier portions. It absorbs the blow.
Okay.
Orc mom.
Okay. Well,
now
I
it's
tried.
Their turn.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to start with the one that's currently chewing on Onka.
Okay.
You take 6 necrotic damage.
Oh, no.
You feel like you're actually withering from the location where it has attached itself.
This is bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
One could argue that. The two that are at the door on the second floor turn towards you and take flying leaps at your face. And the first one, that's a 10.
Okay. Armor class is 10. So
okay,
it hits.
So yeah, that's a hit. It doesn't hit you on the face, but it does latch onto, I'm going to say, so not that I'm a fan of the Ace Ventura movies, but in the second one where he's got a spear in each leg and he's just screaming about the spear in one leg and then the one in the other leg.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, if you will, that, but with potatoes with teeth.
Oh, God. Okay.
And you take 6 piercing damage from the one that's attached to the other leg.
Okay.
And the last one.
Oh, God.
That's
she's not
going to
survive this.
To hit. You're going to take another 6 points of damage. One of them, this one has grabbed onto an arm.
Okay. So can I, like, do, like, a really loud orc growl scream kind of thing so that people can at least hear that something's happening?
I would require a constitution save to not be screaming.
Okay. So
this is not something where one goes quietly into that good potato.
Especially not a half orc. We're not going to just let this happen. We're going to, like, yell, you know? So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's 3 of them. There are a bunch more, however. 2 of them are going to go for Fahim. That is a 19 and a 16.
The 19 will hit, the 16 will not.
Okay. 6 points of damage. And I'm going to say that it's bit you on the fist.
Rude.
So. You currently have the worst of mittens.
You have a boxing glove.
Or they are now.
I don't think anything likes where it is.
Eric.
Yes.
4 of them are going for you.
Bring it on.
Because you've got a fancy shield.
And I know how to use it.
That's a 5 and an 8. By the way, they do have pack tactics.
Understand.
Oh, okay.
That is an 8 and a 10 for the second one. 15 and 6 for the third one. All the low rows are going for the guy with an AC of 20. That's a 12. Oh, that's a 21.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, the last one.
So one of them is now attached firmly to your shoulder. Going, nah, 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 nah. Somehow it managed to run up your shield and flip over the top of it to latch onto your shoulder. It was only through your quick actions that you managed to avoid it grabbing onto your neck. Paige, two of them are going after you.
I don't like that.
That is an 11 and a nat 1.
Well, I have an armor class of 13, so good luck.
Okay.
I apologize. I was trying to look on something. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me the damage it was going
six.
To try and...
They're all take, okay. They all do average of 6 damage.
Okay, so I'd like to expend one superiority die that mm-hmm. I have to parry.
Ooh.
When a creature damages with a... I'm assuming this is a melee attack. Like a
yes.
Okay. You can use one of your reactions and expend one superiority dice to reduce the damage by the number you roll plus superior die of 4. So okay. the superior die is 8 plus an D8, and then I'll add...
Okay. So I've got to figure out how to rule this, because if you're parrying it, the way that's worded, like you would be putting like your sword in the way or something. But
yeah.
The way it's written for these creatures, on a successful hit, they also latch onto you.
So now you've got a creature latched onto your sword.
You know what? Fine. Fine, we're doing that.
I rolled a 7 anyway. It would have did the 6 damage. So the sword it is.
The sword is going, this feels really backwards. I'm supposed to be biting it, not the other way around. What even is this thing? That is a 19 for the last of my rolls. So, Paige, you currently have one of them latched onto you, and you take 6 points of damage.
I don't like that.
And none of them went for Mazir.
Hmm.
They might be afraid of... Yeah, they might be afraid of getting burned alive or something. I don't know. We're really creepy, but she's worse. Okay, so that's the end of the round. Mazir, you are up.
I'm attacking the ones on Onka.
Okay.
Yay!
She's upstairs.
Yes. I'm at the door, but I haven't opened the door
yet. You're
going
to have to run past several of them to get up the stairs.
Oh, I thought you were at the front door.
No.
She was
briefly. Going upstairs to find the kid.
Yeah, she was briefly, but she ran upstairs.
Okay.
But you do know she's in combat and fighting them because you've heard her scream multiple times.
Yeah.
Probably an orc.
Those who speak Orcish might be upset with the language being used, but understand it.
But it is a typical Orcish battle cry in these types of situations. can imagine.
Unlike the kobold battle cry of, please don't kill me, this is more along the lines of, I will kill you and everything you hold dear.
Mm-hmm.
Which has more respect for Orc Bomb.
Which I'm going to rule, because there isn't an Orcish to English dictionary in D&D, that I will kill you and everything you hold dear in Orcish is like 2 syllables long. So it's very easy to cry out.
Right. Yeah, it probably sounds similar to Klingon, I would think, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kapla.
Paige highly approves of everything that Orc Bomb's saying.
If I go in straight lines.
It bit me. I don't like him anymore.
How far am I from Onka?
You can get there in all of your movement in one turn without having to double move. But you will run past 3 of them.
That's all I needed to know. I take the disengage action as my bonus action.
Ha! Okay. You tiptoe through the potatoes.
Tiptoe through the potatoes, and then I cast Green Flame Blade again.
Okay, Eric is posting photos of cookie tins that actually have cookies in them instead of sewing stuff.
Oh, wow, how nice.
I know, it's weird. I didn't know they came like that.
I didn't know there were cookies ever in them.
It's called sabotage. She puts it right in front of me, too.
Oh, wow. I remember those being good. I can't eat them, and I shouldn't have been eating them then, but I remember they were good.
They're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Shortbread!
Okay. Onka, are you incapacitated?
No.
She has one arm that does not currently have one of the potatoes chewing on her.
And I'm half orc. I am not incapacitated yet. She's all getting angry.
So, Green Flame Blade. I attack, let's say, the one on her leg.
So,
I'm right for the leg.
If Onka's a tree, you're doing some pruning.
Yes.
And 11 does not hit.
I'm going to use my inspiration.
Yay, people are using inspiration. A 13 does not hit.
I'm going to use my inspiration.
Wait.
We're building it up.
Sadly, you have no more inspiration.
I do have no more inspiration. All right. Well, that was my action then.
Okay.
Well, I tried.
Well, there is another person on the top floor who can do something. And she still has one good arm and a spiritual weapon.
Yes.
Paige, you're up. You're facing two of them. Well, one and a half. One of them is currently chewing on you.
Really like that one.
I'm so glad that Green Flame Blade is a cantrip.
So, I have one in my arm, wing, whatever. and I have one in front of me.
Yeah. Well, is there kind of in else? Front, kind of to this. Imagine, if you will, a very excited
kid. Is there anyone else in the direction of the one that's not on my arm?
It depends on if you count the scarecrow's head or not.
No. Anything that I would worry about hitting with a spell.
Probably
so she's not worried about hitting that with a spell.
No, I have no morals.
I would say you have enough movement that if you need to angle it, you can like be moving around it without giving it an attack of opportunity.
Yeah, I'm planning on maneuvering so it's in front of me and then putting my wing up so, you know, I can get the other one that's on me. And then hitting them both with poison spray.
Okay. So what does poison spray do?
I have 10 feet in front of me, so that's safe.
Poison spray is not something I usually see used in my campaigns. What does it do?
So I extend my hand, so the one that does not have a corgi on it, and I put out 10 feet of poison gas out, and everything must save on a constitution saving throw, which is a 15, or take 2d12 of damage.
These things are not, they don't have very high constitution. That is a 2.
Okay.
And that's a 0.
He just doesn't exist anymore.
So I rolled a nat 1 and they have a -1 to their con saves.
Beautiful. They don't exist.
He vomits himself out of existence.
Little things.
And it's doing on.
It's doing the Paul Reubens death scene from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So they each take 11 damage?
They melt.
Yay! And my feathers are good, so it just off.
And the wall behind them also melts.
It's fine. No one lives here.
You just hope that wasn't the load-bearing Joyce.
I was gonna say.
Uh-huh.
Is that an ontological joist?
No, which one's the load-bearing wall?
I don't think Paige would care up until the point where she hears creaking coming from above.
Yeah, once they start falling down, we have an issue.
We learned a couple sessions ago in the Kobold game that you have to pay attention to which ones are the load-bearing walls. Yes.
This is true, and there was a nat one involved with that.
Well, the thing is that my bird, thankfully, can Misty Step if the world does collapse. So we're good.
It's not a TPK if at least one member of the party lives.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the one that lived didn't care about rezzing the rest of them. So, whoops.
The only healing spell I know is Vampiric Touch, so good luck.
Yikes.
Just use the verbal components backwards.
Touch vampires. Really,
it's kind of unfortunate. It's kind of unfortunate that your healing spell really sucks.
Okay, Fahim and Eric, you're both up.
All right, I'd like to slam down my sword to try and, you know, with the one that's already on the sword, you know, kind of cut him in half. Because
okay, I'm. You know what? For this roll, I was gonna say roll with advantage, but that's a 19. So roll your damage. Ellie, you got your inspiration back. Come on and slam. And make potato jam.
Jam!
It's time to slam up. Make that jam up.
10 points? Okay, so as you slam your sword down onto the ground, it's the equivalent of chopping wood.
You made french fries!
And yet, you can still cut through a tomato.
Alright, so we have more potatoes from the second attack?
It broke.
I got that reference. And the ancient Tupperware is still fresh.
So now we have
There's more potatoes around.
Home fries on the floor.
And Fahim already made the ketchup.
Yep.
Perfect.
It's called an aioli. So I'm assuming if there's another potato around, I can swing it again.
Oh, yes. You are in a target-rich environment, although it's getting poorer with each round.
I have eight left. The potato.
Cool. I think a 26 probably hits.
It's a glancing blow. You just glance off of its pancreas.
Can I have some of those for my previous rolls?
Can we share?
Well, Mazir is no longer correct. Now there are seven left.
Yep.
Three of them are upstairs. Okay, all so right. Eric's killed two. Fahim, you're up.
All right. I'm going to try to kill the one that's on fist, probably by punching the ground or the wall or my other hand. Got a 12 and a 19.
The 19 hits.
I miss pack tactics.
10 damage.
You're just saying that because you're level 18 in pack tactics.
No, I like the ability.
So I do 10 damage.
Okay. So how exactly do you punch this one to death?
Oh my goodness.
From the inside.
If I'm close enough to a wall, I'm literally just using that fist to punch a wall until it's, once again, goo. Because I thought I was making mashed potatoes, but apparently it's ketchup.
All right.
So
well,
Fahim now has a new bracer.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sleeve. It's covering your entire forearm, and it's not trying to bite you anymore.
And your I'll use a go ahead.
Potato fashion.
You don't necessarily want to think about what your fist went through on the other side.
Fashion. Those are concerns for later.
Yes.
Later.
And I'll spend a key point to make another two attacks at the other one that tried to attack me.
And the 25 will hit.
Why is
keep
it
rolling
always
exactly
rolling
how
six?
Many hit points you need.
Perfect.
That's Eric's four, rolling four row, that right? Sixes on those two. It's like, I don't know, but yeah, okay.
Sidekick knows it's 9:30. He's like, let's get this done. Okay, so anything fancy with this one or just another red smear?
More red smudge.
Potatoes.
That's wonderful.
I have concerns. Okay, Onka.
Mm-hmm.
You are currently wearing three potatoes.
Yes, and I don't want to be. Let's see.
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
And you can decide not to do this. It's your character, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it occurs to me that you have a spell that does an AoE within 5 feet of you for any creature that you care to do that damage to.
I'm trying to remember which one that is. Not that one.
I don't think it's Bacon of Hope.
No.
That would be a Gox spell.
That would be a Gox spell, yeah. I'm trying to figure out if it's one of these cantrips, but I don't. So, nope.
Hold on, it might be.
Maybe it is. I'm, like I said, not thinking straight today.
You might have changed your spells around since last time you did this ability, too.
I don't know. Oh, wait, is it Word of Radiance? Is that the one? Because that's a cantrip.
It might.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Within 5 feet, each creature's your choice.
You?
Yeah.
You can do 1d6 radiant damage to everything around you.
Okay, yeah. All the potatoes. Starting with the ones that are on
me. And what level are you?
What level am I? Level 7?
Because you're level 7, so you're rolling 2d6, not 1d6.
Nice. Okay, 2d6. Here we go. I got a 5 and a 4.
Okay.
9.
So I should probably roll these constitution saves, I think?
I guess.
Literally just talked about it, and I immediately forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Constitution save of 14. So let's see how well they do. That one passes. That one does not. That one does not. So the bad news for the one that passed was you'd already bloodied it before. So you win, you die.
Uh-huh.
The other two are down to one hit point each.
Rude.
But they're still there.
Wait a minute, though. I hate to be a downer, but Word of Radiance isn't one of those spells where you take half damage on a successful save.
Oh, you're right. So the one that passed is still there. Yes. So you still have three, but they're all very badly injured.
Okay, well, that's a good start.
Two of which, if they sneeze, will probably die.
I'm very badly burned.
Couldn't hear that.
I'm still alive, just very badly burned. You shot me! Why would you shoot me? Why?
Fortunately for these potatoes, I love a lot of pepper on my baked potatoes.
Okay. All right, well, so I've done a spell. Yeah.
You still have spiritual weapon.
It's I do.
Still up. And I believe you can move
it's
it.
Still up. Mm-hmm.
And have it hit something as your bonus action.
Yeah, I'm going to have it hit one of these guys that's attached to me, whichever one. Okay. Yeah.
The one that you didn't hurt with Word of Radiance, I think.
I think that's a good idea. That one, whichever one that is. I'm not sure which one was more damaged than the other or where they're located at this moment, but they're on me somewhere, so hit it with that. And then that does, let's see, force damage equal to 1d8 plus your spellcasting ability modifier.
Well, first this roll says, to hit.
Okay. I've got a 6.
That's not going to hit.
Not going to work. Okay.
Okay.
So it doesn't work. All right.
All right. You take 18 points of necrotic damage.
Oh, I need a heal. This is bad. 18?
Yeah. Well, they go after you, and there's three of them attached to you, and on their turn, instead of attacking, they do 6 points in necrotic damage each. So that's 18 total.
Yeah, I have 10 points right now.
So after you took the 18, you have 10? Or
yes. After taking the 18, okay. I have 10 points.
So you're still standing?
Yes.
Okay. But if Mazir doesn't do some pruning, you won't be standing next turn.
Right.
Okay. So, Mazir.
Yes.
Coincidentally.
I'll do it.
It's pruning time?
Kill them with green flame?
Yeah. And I'm going to target the one that wasn't hit by the Word of Radiance.
Okay. So you look at the one that isn't burning and go, I can fix that.
Yeah. I'm going to use my inspiration. It's going to be hard to roll lower than that.
Well, a 19 will hit.
Yeah. There's a 19. All right. Now.
What's your bonus to damage?
Well, I want to roll this one out.
Okay.
Because as it happens, the creature that I hit is within 5 feet of another enemy of one of its enemies, and that enemy isn't incapacitated.
Oh, sneak attack damage. This is what you get when the warlock is also a rogue.
For 26 damage.
Wow. It goes splat.
I think you managed to rewrite time and erase it from existence.
That's better than what I would come up with, sure. It goes splat. Its molecules go splat. The individual atoms go splat. There's hydrogen atoms that are just forming and flying off in various directions at this point. Don't light a match.
Paige lights a match.
How dare you?
Immediately.
And one of the other ones takes 13 points of fire damage.
Considering it had what hit point remaining, it shares the same fate as the one that you super splatted with 26 points of damage. There's one that's still chewing on Onka. We're going to say that this one is on an arm. You got the ones on the legs.
Okay,
Paige.
Can I get up there in time?
Well, it looks like Fahim and Eric are pretty much almost done down here, so you could probably wander off.
Where's my spider?
Oh, right, I forgot about Raoum.
Your spider's hanging out in the upstairs bedroom.
I tell my spider to go and bite on the thing on Unka's arm.
Okay. Make it do
he
an
can
attack
crawl
roll.
Underneath the door. Let me go find my spider's stats real fast.
just roll a d20 for me.
Okay.
Tragically, a familiar can't attack.
Yeah?
Oh.
Well, with a 5 on the roll, we're going to say it makes a valiant attempt.
However.
Oh, yeah. That's not a really good familiar, strength. That's not a good
a
strength.
Familiar can use the help action for another character. Which gives them advantage on one of their rolls.
And I wanted to use it to fight something. So I guess I run up the stairs.
Okay, your spider turns out to be a daddy longlegger. It's trying to bite, but it just can't get through
the hide. It just can't do it. Yeah. Aw, the poor little guy.
I mean, I mainly made him a spider for sneaking, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
But still, this thing that is trying to chew on Onka is at the same time reacting to the fact that a spider's crawling on it, and it is very unnerved.
Good.
It's that like it's swinging its legs around, like trying to get it off. Like, ah, get it off, get it off. It's in my hair that I don't have. Because I'm a potato.
I poke the critter on her arm with my magic sword. Just really nice little okay. poke. Just
that would be a d20 roll. Plus 5.
I can't.
Okay, not so 20. A nat 20. Rolling damage
and all
would
I really
be
want to
irrelevant.
Do is just like, you know, like the baby poke, like the
So
it's the death.
Imagine, if you will, that the sword was a pin, and you went up to...
I'm so good at apathy rolls.
And it went up to...
True.
Imagine, if you will, that your sword was a pin, and you just walked up to an aforementioned water balloon filled with red ink, and gave it a poke.
I'm going to get covered in blood.
You are in fact...
She doesn't mind.
You are covered in more blood than you think should have been able to fit inside of the thing.
Like a tick.
Unfortunately, so is your spider.
And so is Onka.
Yeah, Onka's been in battles before, or around battles before, as a healer. She's not going to flinch at the sight of blood in battle.
So, do I have to roll for damage, or did I just assume it exploded?
It had one hit point remaining, thanks to Onka's Word of Radiance. So no matter what you rolled, you were going to kill it.
You rolled a natural 20. You can't not kill it.
Yeah,
right.
It was going to go into multiple negative hit points no matter what you did.
No.
If it was a PC in third edition, you would have insta-killed it. No death saves.
Yes. Yeah, so I like barely prod it with the sword and it explodes over everyone in the hallway.
And here's the thing. You didn't even roll damage correctly because it was a crit, so you would have had to roll 6d8.
Oh, okay. So let's see that.
Yeah. 34.
Wow.
If it had max hit points, you killed it 3 times over. So I'm
poor
going
Bryn.
To say
poor Bryn is going to be precedigitating for like 2 years.
Yes.
She's going to be so upset.
You know what? You might as well just burn the whole building to the ground and start fresh at this point. Because we keep referencing Simpsons tonight, I'm going to say this is the one Halloween episode where, that's odd, the blood usually gets off of the third floor. You are on the top of a staircase, so there is a waterfall coming down the stairs.
Oh, wow.
Paige is really excited because, one, I did the death blow. Two, I barely poked it and it exploded. And three, everyone's covered in blood. And four, Bryn's going to be so mad.
Nazir, give me a dexterity save.
I will if I can.
Okay. You are also covered in the blood because that's a 9.
Yeah.
I use my uncanny dodge to only be half covered in blood.
I will let you pick which half. You are not allowed to say the outside.
That's a good one.
Just the inside of me, please.
That means you swallowed a lot, so no.
Oh.
Extra iron
today. So what was your answer?
The left side.
Okay. So one half of you is covered in blood. The other half is, like, clean. You are the bloody murder version of Two-Face.
Neat. All right. By my count, we've got one left.
Do you have a coin that's red on one side?
Yeah, probably.
There are four left, and Fahim and Eric both have the ability to attack more than one.
Mightily.
Okay. All right, let's go.
We rolled damage more than once for individuals, so that's probably why we're losing count.
Yeah.
Time to swing! We'll see what happens. That was the wrong
one. Eric uses whirlwind.
Spin to win!
Yes.
I feel dirty inside. I made a League of Legends reference. I don't even like that game.
They use that for D3 as well. Spin to win.
Yeah.
13 hit?
13 does not hit.
All right. Second attack?
19 will hit.
9 points of damage.
All right. It is alive. But regretting its life.
Happy about being alive, but it's alive.
Make your spin on the wheel of death.
Ooh. I think RuneScape actually has the thing called the wheel of pain.
Wheel of morality. Spin, spin, spin.
All right. Turn, tell us a lesson that we should learn.
Turn.
All right, so Fahim's going to try to attack an uninjured potato. So,
look it right in the eyes.
A 10 and a 26.
The 26 will hit.
Okay.
You'll probably kill it.
Well, I can only kill it if I roll max damage, which... Okay. It was happening for a while, but didn't happen there.
For once, you didn't.
But I am going to use a key point to make another two attacks on the same potato. 23 and a 22.
And it has two hit points left, so...
Yeah, I don't even have to roll. I know I killed it.
This one's mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Basically, all you are painting this entire building red. The only part that isn't covered in blood is the part that got dissolved earlier.
Oh, that's my wall. Seeing red.
Well, when they say paint the town red, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what? At least the bedroom is not red.
Yet.
You hear a voice coming from the other side of the door. It's seeping underneath!
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, man.
All right, but that's my turn.
Okay. Unka.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to heal myself before I die. Hey, let's see. Which one should I use?
Well, you currently only have one chewing on you, so you're going to take a maximum of 6 points of damage this turn.
Okay, so I need to heal more than... Yeah, well, I haven't been doing really well with killing them.
Wait a minute.
I could, all the ones on Anka were already dead.
Wait, are they?
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, I killed them.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Killed, so, yeah, you don't have any.
I killed two. They've killed one.
Yes. You are. I'm looking at my notes to say.
You're in the clear.
I thought there was one still alive. Nope. No, I was remembering wrong. My notes are correct, and so are you.
Okay, so.
You do hear Peter and Sanctimonious on the other side of the door that you were running up to.
Okay, so they're on the other side. They're probably okay, I hope. All right, I'm going to do Cure Wounds. Or should I do Healing Word? Healing Word is more people. Anybody else injured?
I am.
I took 6 points of damage, but that's no big deal.
I took 6 points of damage, and that's a whole 1/4 of my life, so...
Okay, so if I do Healing Word, then I can do... if I do it as a third level spell, I can do a 2d4 plus 3 on everybody who needs it within the 60 feet.
That's the entire house.
I'm going to do that. do I need to roll a d20 for this or no?
Not a d20, but just roll your healing.
Okay, so it's 2d3. Okay. The 6. Hold on. Let me get the 2d4s plus 3.
Which one are you casting?
Healing Word.
Okay, Healing Word is a creature of your choice.
Oh, is it? I know there's one that's like the Cure Wounds that does more than one. No. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing because I'm really out of it today. Mass Healing Word. That's probably, well, let's try that. I'm assuming this battle's going to be over soon.
As you call it, Words of Restoration of the 6 creatures of your choice that you can see. Currently, you can't see anyone who's injured except for yourself because you're upstairs. But you could go downstairs.
I'm there.
Oh, wait. That's true. So you and a bird are upstairs.
Okay.
You can't heal Fahim, but you could heal yourself and Paige.
Okay.
Fahim doesn't really need it anyway.
All right. Then I'll do that. I'll heal myself and Paige. And so that's 2D, still 2D4 plus 3. So 2 and 1 plus 3.
So a total of 6.
I think so. It's not a lot.
I needed.
Yeah, you filled up Paige's tank.
Okay, sure.
That was a whole 1/4 of my HP that went down, so I'm happy.
Okay, so I add, what do I add, 6? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's something. Okay. It's a start.
You won't die right now.
Right. And
The big draw to Healing Word is that it's a bonus action instead of an action.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't played a cleric in a very long time. Let's see. Well, I guess I'm going to open the door and make sure everybody in there is okay.
Okay, you open the door and find several more currently dead potatoes. Sanctimonious, Peter, Bryn, and basically the rest of the gang, including the gnolls, are all okay. in there.
All right.
There's surprisingly less blood from the large collection of wretched that were in there than from the one that Paige took once after you used your Word of Radiance.
Right, right.
That one potato was secretly a blood elemental.
Very happy about that.
If anything, the people, the members of your party that are in this room are just surprised that they all ended up in that room. They were in a black and white area, and then they were all together in this room.
They were not in bed with me besides Peter.
Right.
Yeah. But remember, you didn't all wake up at the same location.
Yeah,
three of you woke up in a barn.
I woke up on a door.
Okay. So now it is time for the remaining four. They choose not to run. They choose to go out doing what they do best, trying desperately to eat things.
There's still four? I thought there was four and then I killed one.
Are there four in the room?
Opened? That's right. The second one you attacked, you did kill. You're right. There's three remaining. And that's a 16 to hit Fahim.
That does not hit.
Okay. The beast tries to stab you with its steely teeth. And then realizes it doesn't really know the lyrics to that song. And Eric, there are two going after you.
Okay.
That's a 9 and a 7. So, nope. That's 21 and a nat 20. So, okay. You are going to take 12 piercing damage.
Okay.
It gets a lucky hit and is actually chewing on your head.
Yay! The head.
You are wearing a jaunty hat.
Oh, no.
I like it.
It is not something you would recommend. It's really for formal occasions.
So says you. Don't speak for me.
Mazir.
I'm here.
You're up.
All right. I go back down to the bottom of the stairs. Where are the remaining three creatures relative to everybody else?
One of them is in front of Fahim. One of them is in front of Eric. One of them is on Eric's head, trying to sort him into Gryffindor.
Okay. How close is the one to Fahim?
Well, the entire house is rather small. You can get there in your full movement.
Okay.
From upstairs, you can get down to in front of this thing with your full movement.
I'm going to do two attacks.
Two hits this time. Gotcha, real smooth.
25.
That's a hit. And the one in front of Fahim, if I remember correctly, had 2 hit points remaining.
Oh, I can't do less than 9.
Oh. It's illegal.
Well, I'm rolling 46 plus 5.
So there's a smash cut to a scene outside the house where you see a waterfall of blood going out the front door and down the road.
Oh, no.
The door in our face is very concerned.
There was a traveling door-to-door salesman that was coming up to the door. He has decided that he's going to go to the next house.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So, yeah, that's 21 points of damage to the first one.
Okay, so it's at negative 19.
I think it died.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
And a 19. I'm throwing a dagger at the one on Eric's head.
Okay. Oh, no. Jeez. Throw the dagger at his head, why don't you?
If you'd rolled a nat 1, fine. You would be hitting Eric. But a 19, yeah, you're definitely doing damage. Roll your damage.
Woo!
That still means that he gets the cool hat, crown of teeth, though.
Okay. Eric, you feel additional weight pressing down on your head after there's an impact.
Oh, fun.
Well, it's nothing a long rest can't cure.
Yeah.
Just digitate that.
So, Mazir, is that your turn?
That's my turn.
Okay, Paige, you're upstairs with a bunch of gnolls and everyone else.
Yes. I see no need to go downstairs and join in the combat. They got that handled. So I pet the gnolls.
Okay.
The question is,
one of them really enjoys the chin scratching.
Good.
How many potatoes actually made it upstairs? Because there are several corpses on the floor, but gnolls are known for eating their victims.
They haven't had the time. It's been a matter of seconds.
All right.
Fine. But there, there are a few that look like they've got sticks ready for the campfire.
Yeah, so I give them scritches.
Okay. So
that's my turn.
Now we're back to Fahim and Eric. You have one and a half. Actually, no, neither one's at full strength. You have two very bloodied potatoes remaining, one of which is planning to live out his days as a hat.
I would like to grapple. I like to grapple the one on my head and squeeze.
And squeeze?
Yes.
Ew!
Give me a strength athletics check.
Look. Give me a gross check. Sorry, look, that's just disgusting.
Millie, you're the one who just popped one like a tick.
Yeah, and it bled everywhere.
I'm just imagining it on your head. That's a choice for shampoo.
Okay, well, that's not a nat one that I rolled, but it's a one.
Oh. Oh, gosh.
And you rolled a 15. So, yeah, you can do whatever you want with this thing. You pry it off your head.
It's 5 points of damage for squishing.
5 points of squishing damage. This is the weirdest battle.
You hug it to death.
Yes.
You hear a few pops and snaps inside of it as you squeeze it. And then it just goes limp.
Okay, so the next one, I want to go ahead and attack one more.
Technically, a grapple is a full action.
Okay.
But Fahim hasn't gone yet.
All right, there's only one left, correct?
Yes.
Make a note to recover my dagger.
All right, then I'm going to spend a key point right up front and just make four attacks. I got it.
A natural 20, so...
It had 10. One hit point remaining.
That's the thing. That's why I was like, y'all got this.
So these things are challenge rating 1/4.
Yeah.
But there were enough of them that I was a bit worried for, well, Onka specifically.
Right.
Because if the healer goes down, the rest of you have a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going
to
say.
You can try to raid her corpse for that healing potion, but, you know.
I would volunteer to carry the bag of holding.
I think you'd have to fight Mazir for it, though.
Yeah. I think we could work together.
That. We should probably buy some healing potions next chance we get.
Yeah, she's got that ointment or whatever that can heal at least. Yeah.
Okay, well, you hear the Final Fantasy victory music playing from somewhere.
Anyway.
We look out the window and see one of the scarecrows holding up a boombox.
Oh, no.
There's your inspiration. Okay, so yes, you're pretty sure you've killed all these things that you found. Or that found you, whichever way you want to look at it. Some of you don't want to look at it at all.
No, mm-mm. Covered in blood.
Ugh. Upstairs you hear, prestidigitation, prestidigitation, prestidigitation. Oh, I give up.
I call up the stairs. Hey, Bryn, I could use a bath when you've got a moment.
It's on. Why is it on the ceiling? Why is it on the ceiling?
Ask Paige.
You hear Paige cackling.
I reclaim my dagger from the squished.
Yeah, you just hear cackling whatever it is. From Paige. Nothing to get your mind off of betrayal like cackling and blowing up tick monsters.
Okay. And those of you who are downstairs see a parade of gnolls, which you've kind of gotten used to at this point, let's be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm upset.
Carrying a bunch of these things impaled on sticks out the front door. The sticks appear to be made from fragments of furniture and maybe part of a door. And they're also carrying a bunch of wood that looks like they broke that up recently. And one of them is currently carrying something on fire.
Huh. Okay.
You guys probably shouldn't eat those. They might be evil and made of death.
They care.
Yeah, that's all the effort Fahim's going to put into it. If they are more, then
Yeah.
They're doing the hyena laugh on their way out the door, by the way.
Anka's considering whether she's going to have to try to heal the gnolls at some point here, based on their dietary choice.
I open the window to let that nice campfire smell come in.
Okay, so imagine this. Paige goes and opens a window. Less than 2 feet from the window is a giant hole in the wall. That Paige is also responsible for.
That's beside the point. Y'all are getting so caught up on these little things like details.
It is a practice where you can roast a potato on a spit, but the gnolls are doing a bit more of a marshmallow style roast.
The outside of mine caught fire.
Awesome!
I was gonna say, there is one that's shaking a potato around in its hand. It flies off and bounces off of the wall. Actually, I should probably roll.
Let's see if it does. Why not?
See where it hits.
Oh. Well.
Does it hit me in the face?
That's a 19. It goes through the window.
Oh, no.
Where the pieces fall right down my face.
I'm going to say that it goes over your head, Paige. You are rather short.
Okay. Thank goodness.
You don't understand. It goes over your head. You don't understand.
But it goes from the window to the wall, and it goes drips down the wall. So I am cool.
There is now a flaming, dead, carnivorous potato on the kitchen floor.
I stamp out the fire.
No, I'm the only one in that room.
No,
there were a lot of you there.
You guys are? Okay, good. I was like, oh no.
For some reason, Fahim, you have this image of a paper bag on a front doorstep as you stamp this thing out.
Still better than burning the house down.
I'm trying to get Paige's attention so she'll come downstairs.
I eventually follow Mazir down the stairs.
Okay. Repeat after me. One.
Guac.
Two. Okay, you can do guac, guac, guac. Okay?
I'm so confused.
I'm holding up my fingers to illustrate. Okay. One, squawk. Two, squawk, squawk.
The DM is suppressing a grin.
I may have missed what I was supposed to do. I'm
trying to make sure. I'm about to ask a question, and I need Paige to be able to respond, either one or two.
Okay, thank you. I cut out for that, and I was like so confused.
Okay.
That's a key point there. Yeah. Kind of need to know what that is.
No. The theme has the key points.
This is true.
Yeah.
All I heard was squawk two, and I'm like, I do not know what I'm doing.
Okay. Here's Mike sounds nice. Squawk one.
Squawk.
Okay, so repeat after me. One, two, and I hold up my hands to illustrate.
One, two.
Okay. What happens when a scarecrow is destroyed? One, it goes back home. Two, it gets let loose in this world.
I may have missed the question.
What happens when a scarecrow gets destroyed?
Home. Home.
Okay. That's good to know. Thank you.
Home. That's my answer.
Yes. Yes. That's good to know. Thank you. Sorry. I think I'm going to be right back.
Okay.
Home.
I'm going to argue that this is also canon. Mazir gets fed up with this conversation and says, I'll be right back. And then just walks out. Through the hole in the wall where it's still sizzling a little bit.
Jumps right back out the window that she jumped in.
Peace out.
I'm thinking of those vines of like jumping in the garbage can on wheels.
No, sorry, my Discord was really lagging.
Home.
Home. Okay, that's great. Thank you. That's all I need to know.
I can't hear you right now.
Will you please round up a couple of scarecrows?
I cannot hear anything right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's
can
spread.
Anybody
hear
me?
I can hear you.
Yes.
I'll reload mine.
We're right at the wrapping up point, so of course this is where Discord decides.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thank you for messing up Discord right when we're actually trying to have a talk.
Okay, Thank you. That's what I needed to know.
My answer is home.
Will you please round up a couple of scarecrows? And I'm going to go to the barn and see if there's any, like a cart, and hopefully like oxen or horses.
Murder scarecrows?
I'm talking to Crash right now.
Oh.
I'm not rounding up any scarecrows.
Conversation.
He's not rounding up any scarecrows.
I did not volunteer for this.
I asked Paige to round up some scarecrows, and then Mazir is heading to the barn.
Okay. You go to the barn.
So my question to Mazir then was, murder scarecrows?
No, not murder scarecrows. We might need them to drag the cart.
Oh.
That's an interesting thing.
Squawks off.
Squawks off.
My campaigns have a bad history with carts in general.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Be right back in a certain Fenix.
That's where it started. That is where it started.
That is where it started.
I just start, you know, I do Woody's Roundup. Get all the scarecrows back in the Wild Wild West.
You find four scarecrows that are still mostly in one piece.
Can I find a cart?
You do find a cart, yes.
Okay.
Also,
do I find any oxen or horses or anything?
You find what's left of some oxen.
Oh, or horses. That's no good.
At this point, it would require a roll to figure out which they were.
That's
the end of it.
That's distressing, yeah.
The bones have been chewed thoroughly.
Okay, that makes sense. Either Arnold's or whatever it was we just fought had a nice little dinner.
Quite possibly all right. The carnivorous potatoes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask Onka for help getting the cart out of the barn.
Okay, I'll come down.
I'm yelling scarecrow.
I'll help push the cart out or whatever is needed.
Paige, you've managed to round up four scarecrows. What do you do with them?
I bring them back.
Okay.
Everybody, let's go.
Okay, Paige is outside the barn with four scarecrows, watching people do the heavy lifting to push a cart out of a barn.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see if we can hook the scarecrows up to the cart and have them pull us to Sandstone.
The bird singing in Jen's background is actually me.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works just fine. It's going to be singing for a bit.
I'm in a good mood right now, my character is, because I just destroyed things. And I caused blood everywhere. So
Paige almost forgets that she was betrayed.
It's still there, but I'm letting myself ride the high of destroying things.
Yeah.
I throw the scarecrow friends over to Mazir to order using language.
Okay, would you please... at our instruction, would you please hook yourselves up to the cart and at our instruction, begin pulling us toward Sandstone?
They stare at you for a few seconds and then go over and start tying themselves to the cart in ways where it's not going to move very well under their power.
I have nothing in animal handling, so we're going to have to wait for Bryn to
give me an insight. Insight check.
I have nothing in insight, so we're going to have to wait for Bryn.
I look at them and I ask them in my head, do you not want to go to Sandstone?
We don't want to pull the cart.
Oh, that's fair.
So the sense that you're getting, Mazir, with a roll of 17, that is still high enough to realize that they're kind of acting like children who've been told to do something they don't want to do. So they're going to respond literally and obstinately. Where they're not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're following your directions, but the letter of the law, not the spirit.
So I look at Mazir and I think to them, steal horses from farms with scarecrows?
We have been told we cannot steal.
Bird is sad.
Must obey.
Anka's watching all this mystified because she's not getting any of this conversation at all. She's like, well, what's happening? Yeah,
all you see is Paige staring intently at the scarecrows and the stare crows staring back. Yes.
Staring back.
Yeah. Eric is just happy right now that his butt doesn't itch as much.
Oh no. I heard the as much in there. Oh no.
He might have been doing a little bit of wiggling during combat just to kind of like get the chafing down.
Exactly.
Eric, did you use the potato teeth as a butt scratcher?
Did not think about that as of right now, but the blood, whatever ran down my backside, is actually
fine. Oh.
Meanwhile, you hear crunching coming from the knolls.
It's on.
All right. Well, we got to find a way to pull this cart.
I will argue with the insight roll of 17. More information is, remember, they're following the letter of the law.
We can still order them to do it. We just have to be more smart about it.
Yeah.
All right, so now I'm like...
cunning words. Use your
gun. So I'm like staring at the both of you like, and? Because I have no idea what's going on.
They don't want to go home.
Oh, you're not talking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I turned to, you know, I turned to Mazir and I'm like, no want go home, but no want pull a cart.
What can we give to have you pull the cart?
Spider language with no loopholes.
Yeah, well.
Meanwhile, the last instruction you gave them was to attach themselves to the cart. One of them is tied to the wheel in such that if you do start pushing the cart, it's going to be going in a circle. One of them is tied to the side railing of the cart. One of them is tied to the equivalent of the bumper. And one of them has tied themselves to the seat in which the driver would ride.
Unka's looking at them like dying. They are just hopeless, hopeless things. Like, why would you interpret it that way? You know, because she doesn't know the rest of the conversation that's going on with the other two. So she's about to...
I turn back to the scarecrows and I think, scarecrow here was killed by animals. Do you want to die?
Give me a persuasion check.
Is that good enough?
They stare at Paige for a while.
Or should I use my inspiration?
And then, very slowly, untie themselves from their locations. The one tied to the wheel needs help. And move around to the front of the cart. And pick up the things that I don't know what they're called, because I don't usually deal with carts. The things that are in front of the cart that you attach the horses to.
The harnesses.
Thank you. Well, these are like wooden things that come out of the front. It's not a harness.
The yokes.
That's it.
Okay. Yokes. It's not the part that goes around the horse's neck. It's the part that attaches to. They pick that up and they look over at you and you can feel the resentment coming off of
them. Okay.
No one needs to roll an insight check to feel the resentment coming off of them. It's like a miasma that's around them right now.
Okay, I have a better idea. Escort us to a place where we can steal or buy some pack animals to pull the cart, and then escort us back.
There's a thump as they let go of the parts they were picking up. The resentment does not wane.
I very sheepishly think a sorry towards them.
You will not be stealing. Possibly I will be stealing. But I have means to pay them back.
When you say possibly I will be stealing, the miasma lowers just a teeny little bit. And then when you say I could pay them back, it comes right back full strength.
Oh my goodness.
All right, fine. I won't pay them back.
They look slightly happier, but they're still very resentful. And as they lead you off towards where you can find some horses, what was that, Paige?
I look towards Mazir, and I'm like, and I think, do you need a hand? I make my hands appear.
Ugh, I can see them. I'm like, no, okay, do you really need these things? I mean, they're just so creepy.
Probably, but...
Need!
I should
Between
have
the two of us,
that.
We've got it under control.
Okay, I'm going to go back inside.
Okay. And as you split the party, because that always turns out well,
Yeah.
We are going to end it for this evening.
Okay.
Oh, I have one more line.
Okay.
I say in Infernal, and if we can, we'll set you free.
Clap.
And on that point, we roll credits.
Yes.
All right.
That's pretty good way to end it.
So that's tonight's session. Thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone for listening. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Ellie and Eric and Jen and Millie and Cindy. Plugs. Ellie runs a social media site, elic.xyz. It runs on Mastodon, so anyone that's on a Mastodon account can follow us there. Eric streams on twitch.tv/untamedsin. That's S-Y-N for sin, not S-I-N. And most recently, I believe he was streaming Outer Worlds.
That's correct.
EO could not be here this evening, but their mom writes books at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast at bookofjen.net. Millie streams on twitch.tv/magicalmillie, including fan fiction, some hers, some other people's. Your mileage may vary. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on. There are a bunch of people who help us keep the lights on already. You can be cool like them if you want to. So we've got Alice and Chris and Cindy and Ellie and Eric all contribute through our Patreon to help us break even. And I fight them the entire way. Because, oh well. I can't tell them what to do, and they can't tell me what to do. It's almost like we're playing a Dungeons & Dragons game or something. All right. Well, until next time, this is Crash saying, why is it on the ceiling? Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.